Hello and welcome to National League Town, Mets fandom, Mets history, Mets life, with Long Island's own Greg Prince and Jeff Heisen. Hey, Greg.
Greetings from the high holy days, Jeff. Good Yontif, everybody. Good Yontif, Mets fans.
On today's show, we talk about how we're in playoff mode and the show is in playoff mode. But first, it's here. It's finally here, the big series in Atlanta. We're going to talk about it after we talk about what we just saw. We're recording this after 11 o'clock. The Mets just won 5-4 over the Marlins in a thrilling game that didn't feel like it was going to happen. Five RBI for Escobar. The game, to me, Greg, felt like a game the Mets played before September. It felt different. It felt like a summer game.
Felt like the 2022 Mets again, didn't it? You know how sometimes you're fortunate enough to get one of those official Mets calendars and it's printed way in advance, so you're sometimes looking at pictures of players who are no longer on the team? Well, if Major League Baseball is licensing its 2024 calendar, probably by now, I assume the 2023 calendar has gone to press. When you get the 2024 calendar for Hanukkah or Christmas 2023, not only will Eduardo Escobar's picture grace the ninth page, it will say Esk-tember because it's his month now. And I think he's made us forget that he was sort of the inverse of this team. The Mets had those beautiful first few months and then have been kind of rocky in September. Escobar, the opposite. Rocky, to put it kindly, for 4 or 5 months. And he's come alive in September, and he carried the Mets, with some help from a couple of relievers, to this very critical, you might even say, crucial win over the Miami Marlins. And you didn't think you'd have to say critical win over the Miami Marlins, but as we have seen throughout this pennant race, every win is big. This one, incredibly big. Another big win, just for the record, that of the Washington Nationals over the Atlanta Braves, also in 10 innings, completely changing the tenor of our mood as the Mets go to Atlanta.
It didn't feel like that was going to happen. The Mets were down 4-0. Atlanta came back to tie Washington, and it did not feel like a good evening for the Mets. And then things turned around. Escobar with the two-run homer, Escobar with the two-run single, went into extra innings. C.J. Abrams with the walk-off for Washington, and it's very strange for me to say, yay, Washington, but I did say that tonight, as we all did. And then Escobar with the big opposite field hit. And how about Drew Smith tonight?
Drew Smith back from the, shall we say, missing. We don't want to say dead. But Drew Smith has been slowly making his way back from injury. Hasn't been much of a factor. Tonight, he's not only the winning pitcher, he was the clutch pitcher, doing what Eduardo, also known as Edwin, doing what Edwin Diaz did in the ninth inning, shutting down the Marlins at a critical time. We keep using words like crucial and critical. And I just keep coming back to Eduardo Escobar. You know, his season was a writ large version of what Gary Carter went through in the 1986 playoffs. Gary Carter, something like 1-for-21 until he won game 5 of those playoffs and completely changed his narrative, the Mets' narrative, the rest of that postseason. That's what Escobar is doing in September, because his season up until now has been a big, or up until September, I really should say, had been a big 1-for-21 or so it felt like. And, you know, he's the man right now. No offense to Jordani Valdespin. Eduardo Escobar is the man right now. And the Mets are the team going to Atlanta in first place. And you know what? What have we talked about all year? The Mets win series. The Mets need to win series. Well, I got news for you. The Mets win their last two series. And I know I like to take them one game at a time. They win these last two series. They've got it made, because you take 2 out of 3 from Atlanta. You have that tiebreaker. And at that point, you take 2 out of 3 from Washington. Now you got to win those games. this is me talking about winning series. You got to win them. We went into September and all these wonderful looking games against sub 500 teams. Well, it wasn't that easy, but we're in pretty good position now. And it feels less like a death sentence, or at least a depressing sentence, that to say, oh boy, we're going to Atlanta. Yippee. As opposed to now, which is we're going to Atlanta and we're going to see what happens.
I went over this during the post game with my son Dylan, and Tim Britton confirmed if the Mets win 2 out of 3 in Atlanta, the Mets have a magic number of 1. If the Mets win 1 out of 3 in Atlanta, just 1, they get the tiebreaker and the Mets have a magic number of 3. So winning just 1 out of 3, they still control their own destiny. I'm not confirming that.
Win 2 out of 3.
There you
win
go.
Two out of three. I don't care what it says. Win 2 out of 3. Don't stop. Win series. That has been our mantra all year.
I like the sound.
Win 2 out of 3. But you know what? Win 1. Win the first one. I shouldn't even be looking ahead. This goes against everything I believe in. But I was thinking about this tiebreaker business. Now, you and Tim Britton can have a math party with Dylan, and it'll be great. Me, I want them to start winning on Friday night or whenever they play.
The only party I want is to celebrate a World Series with you and all of our listeners in National League town. And why not win at least 2, if not 3? Friday night, according to Buck, according to the current schedule, it's Jacob DeGrom versus Max Fried. Atlanta pushed back Fried for this game, but now he has to face Jacob DeGrom. How do you feel about Jake? He's coming off a bad afternoon in Oakland, but you got to feel good about Jacob DeGrom.
Oakland was 3,000 miles ago. I don't care about Oakland anymore. Jacob DeGrom is Jacob DeGrom. Max Fried's Max Fried, too. A very good matchup, I say, in an objective way, which I'm not interested in being objective. Listen, they have their reasons for readjusting the rotation. I was perfectly happy with Chris Bassett going Friday night. Chris Bassett, as we've said before, has sort of been the stealth ace of this team. But Jacob DeGrom is the ace of this team. And I've got all the faith in the world in any of these guys right now. And if he could have a mid-career position change, the only guy I'd rather have out there on the mound, quite frankly, is Eduardo Escobar, because he can do no wrong.
Game 2, Max Scherzer versus Kyle Wright. And you got to like the thought of, got to love the thought of Max Scherzer in a big spot on in game 2.
Versus Mother Nature, perhaps. And we hope that that becomes less and less of an issue. And we hope, by the way, because we're not just baseball fans, but we're human beings, that everybody is as okay as possible wherever the path of Hurricane Ian goes. It's rough going down south. But bringing it back to the Mets, yeah, we got Max Scherzer. I think this was part of the idea of getting Max Scherzer last November and December, right before the lockout. If I go from Jacob DeGrom to Max Scherzer, well, God, it sounds great on paper. We all know paper is pretty much worth what's written on it, which is to say, who the hell knows? But it looks good from here.
Game 3, Chris Bassett against Charlie Morton. If Bassett's your number 3 pitcher, you're on a pretty good team.
You're doing pretty good. But you know what, Jeff? We often talk about starting pitchers. We talk about it when we're in the playoffs, when we're in playoff mode. These things often come down to the bullpen. They come down to the relievers. We have Edwin Diaz at the back end, and we have some pretty decent bridge to get to him. So I am hoping that Chris Bassett, the guy who is capable of giving you 7 innings, 8 innings, is able to give that sort of length and give the sort of performance he has and pass it off to those guys. So it looks good from here. Listen, I've said before, I would trust any of the 5 starters to be in a game 1, a game 5, a game 7 as October comes along. I'm not going to kid around. These are the 3 pitchers I want with first place on the line this late in the season. So any order Buck decided to send them out in would be fine with me. Certainly DeGrom to Scherzer to Bassett is a pretty good sequence.
And no matter what happens, the Mets are in the playoffs, but there's a difference between playing on Friday in the wild card round or waiting until Tuesday and resting up for a few days. Everybody can rest, and perhaps most importantly, Starling Marte has more time to recuperate. He's been talked about today, and the news wasn't good, so he could use some days off to, the team could use some days off to allow him to recuperate, because I think we've been missing Marte.
Yeah, also, you don't want to have to play on Shabbos if possible. Starling Marte has definitely been a factor in absentia. You know, you think about who the MVP on this team is or will be when all is said and done. I don't really have a solid answer, but I can tell by the fact that he's not playing how valuable Starling Marte has been. And to find out that something like a finger can keep you out for the better part of a month is distressing. I mean, gosh, reading about John Stearns after he passed and being reminded, I was at that game where he takes a foul ball off his index finger and he's gone for the year in July, and the Mets kind of disappeared from the playoff chase at that point. Fingers, like everything else in the body, can be tricky. And I thought, well, you know, it's a finger. Marte should be back, but, you know, that's why my medical degree still hasn't come in the mail. They're getting by without him, and they will have to get by without him for a little longer, is what it sounds like. And if we can pass go and go directly to the NLDS and give Starling Marte an extra few days, including Friday night in Shul, if he wants it, all for the better. I mean, again, thank goodness we are already in the playoffs, but you'll want to be there at full strength. And Starling Marte is the epitome of this team at full strength, along, of course, with Eduardo Escobar, who's doing it all right now.
And I mentioned Jake's bad day on Saturday in Oakland, but a product of Jake's bad day was one of Greg's best columns. And I want to point it out before we continue. If you missed Greg's column at Faith and Fear in Flushing on Sunday about Saturday's game, the column was called The Worst. If I was to curate a book of Greg's greatest hits, this would be in there. The conceit of the column was that the Mets were getting an award for playing the worst game of the year, which is how we felt about Saturday. It was a terrible game, but it gave us a great column. So look for that at Faith and Fear and Flushing from last Sunday about Saturday's game. And I know you don't want to relive Saturday's game, but the column's called The Worst. It was one of his best.
Thank you. And if you can find it on your computer, go to your local public library. I'm sure they keep the back issues for at least a month.
They're on a rod. There's a rod with all the newspapers attached to them.
And I'm sure as soon as your neighbor is done reading the blog, he will put it back, and then it is your turn. I haven't been in a library lately, I admit it.
You can go through the card catalog and find it.
Regardless of what happens this weekend, the Mets are in playoff mode. As soon as the Mets clinched a playoff spot, Greg and I went into playoff mode. And to show all the ways that we are in playoff mode, in a salute to The Late Show with David Letterman, NLT presents the top 10 ways Greg and Jeff are in playoff mode. Number 10.
Our respective neighborhood drugstores are out of antacid because we bought all of them. Seriously, our CVS receipts are now longer than a Pete Alonso home run.
Number 9. I changed my Peloton logo from my face to the Mets logo. I'm not saying this as a flex. I'm saying this because I want everyone to know that, like the Mets, I am in playoff mode. Number 8.
Not tonight, dear. I have a playoff game, is my all-purpose answer to everybody about everything.
Number 7. And this is a long one. Holly and Steve, lovely people, sent my wife and me a message saying that we should get together on October 15th or 16th. They said afternoon or evening. They didn't mandate a place, but gave us choices. They couldn't have asked nicer. And all I could think was, how can I make plans without knowing the Mets' playoff schedule? Number 6.
I will nail down a polite excuse to get out of plans with Holly and Steve, even though I just heard of them and they've never heard of me. Because who makes plans when the Mets are in the playoffs?
Number 5. We're not just looking at our phone all day to see how much longer until the game starts. We're setting an alarm to remind us to look at our phone. because you can't be too careful when you're in playoff mode. Number four.
The Mets are definitely going to win this game, lose this game, win this series, and lose this series is what I'll be thinking based on the way Tomas Nito arches an eyebrow between pitches.
Number three. We're convinced that first-round playoff merch is designed to trick us into letting our guard down and jinxing the Mets from advancing, and we will absolutely not buy any of it. But, oh, that shirt is so nice. Number two.
Honestly, Holly and Steve, get a calendar and get a clue.
And the number one way Greg and Jeff are in playoff mode... We are devoting 100% of our attention to the Mets, and we apologize that it's not enough. So how will your favorite podcast go into playoff mode? Well, I don't know what Pod Save America is going to do. Probably nothing. But how will your favorite Mets podcast go into playoff mode? This is our penultimate weekly show for the regular season, and we might be the only Mets podcast that uses a word like penultimate. The regular season ends on October 5th, which is also Yom Kippur and my wife's birthday. Side note, having your birthday on Yom Kippur is not great. Greg will be at the game that day, we'll record that night, and we'll have a new episode for you next Thursday. From there, it's the playoffs. And we are happy to tell you that NLT will have a new episode every single day of the playoffs. From the first playoff game until the parade down the Canyon of Heroes, NLT will be there. We'll have a new episode in the early afternoon or mid-afternoon, depending on our lives. Episodes will be about 15 minutes in length, and they will be every day, beginning on the day of the first Mets postseason game. And isn't that great to think about? We will recap the previous game and look ahead to the next game. So why are we doing this? Well, we're going to talk to each other anyway, so we might as well hit the record button and share it with you. Also, where else are you going to get your Mets news? ESPN New York? Michael K. will talk about his Yankees and then the Jets and the Giants before he talks about the Mets. WFAN is, and I still hate saying this, the Yankee station, so the Mets won't be a priority. To the contrary, NLT is only Mets fandom, Mets history, and Mets life. So again, subscribe and allow notifications so you won't miss an episode as NLT goes daily during the playoffs.
Well, I can't wait to take on all these extra shows. Well, we're going to do our best for you because, honest to God, it really does take up 100% of our attention this time of year. And for all the fun we're having, I'm not kidding about the antacids, by the way. My stomach churned throughout the 2015 postseason, and it came back into churn mode during the 2016 wild card run-up. And it even reappeared a couple of times in September of 2019, when the Mets were making a valiant, if ultimately fruitless, attempt to win the wild card that year. So I expect all of that tension to return. So I just want to share it with you, basically. One thing that's probably going to happen, and I apologize in advance, I'm going to let details slip by me when we do these shows. I'm going to watch every pitch or listen to every pitch with the sound off on the TV, and I'm going to feel the emotion. I know how it works in the postseason, having been there 9 times. But I'm just going to forget things that happen. So I'm glad I'm doing this with Jeff because Jeff's going to pay attention. He's going to tell me that, no, Tomas Nito did not arch his eyebrow in the third inning. And that's not why a run scored. It's just that kind of time of year where just get so caught up in it that details are almost unimportant. Of course, the details will come back around. We'll do our best to talk about them. We'll talk about the emotions. We'll talk about what it's like to be Mets fans this time of year. And we're going to be doing it not theoretically, not conceptually, but actually, because this stuff's going to be going on. We do indeed hope it takes up a lot of our time through October and into early November. We have no guarantees. We can only hope. We can only have faith. And we can only be Mets fans. So thank you in advance for sharing the month ahead with us. Like Jeff said, I'll be going to my own services on the final Wednesday of the season. Be coming back. We'll have one more show after this, and then we'll be going a little bit into uncharted territory where National League Town is concerned. But we're really glad that you will be joining us on this journey, and we're really glad to be joining the Mets on this journey. It's that time of year, and it's that time for the Mets franchise. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening now and in October.
We can't wait to share the playoff moments with you on National League Town. Whatever happens this weekend, the Mets will be in the playoffs, and we love saying that. Until next time, I'm Jeff Heisen.
I'm Greg Prince.
And as always, let's go Mets. Copyright 2022, music provided by the Royal Arctic Institute. Check them out on Spotify. I'm Jeff Heisen.
I'm not Greg Prince.